I'm privileged to be with you tonight and am thankful for God's grace and power that is in our hearts and lives, and so appreciative of one day Him coming into my heart and my life and becoming my Lord and my Savior. There are decisions you make in your life that are so important. They are decisions that will capture the essence of your soul and help you to define your course in your life. There are also decisions you'll make that will be in the immediate hour that will help you to take those stepping stones in your walk of faith that will help you become the man or woman of God the Lord has called you. It is with these understandings in mind of both what you're building for and the present hour that I bring this word to you tonight, the problem with reluctant faith. The problem of reluctant faith. In my heart and life, I can tell you without hesitation that there have been too many times in my life I've become reluctant. I've become doubt-filled. I've questioned some things. And in my questioning, I've talked myself out of the will of God. I've talked myself out of the plan of God. I've talked my way out of a miracle because of the problem of the reluctance with my faith. It can happen to each and every one of us if we're not careful. We can find ourselves captured by doubt, imprisoned by fear, and hesitating from touching the hem of His garment. But what God wants us to do is to press through the crowds of doubt, press through the crowds of fear, press through the crowds that intimidate us from the things of God, and press through and touch the hem of His garment, that faith would take root, and the victory of God would be seen, and a miracle would be birthed, and we would see the glory of God revealed. But too many times, we've been captured by our vain imaginations, kept back from the grace of God, been withheld from the blessings of His glory. Why? Because somewhere deep within us, we allow there to be doubt, innuendos, fears, etc., to be reticent within our being and seated within our soul that we don't remove from our faith. We allow them to become attached to our faith, and it subjugates us to a place of not receiving the benefits of covenant. Hallelujah. There's a problem in our reluctance of faith. And that is that deeply within us, there are things that have attached themselves to our faith that has short-circuited us from the blessings of God. We don't do enough pressing on to the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. We don't climb that mountain. We don't go through that valley. We don't find the way to the plan of God. We try to find an easier way, a simpler path, and a road not so hard to follow. That reluctance has kept us from seeing the glory of God. That reluctance has kept us from recognizing the miraculous of God, has kept us from a move of God. Church, let us awaken from our slumber. Let us rip away from ourselves those tentacles of doubt and fear Allow us to take hold of the faith that our Lord possessed and showed forth in his daily life, and where signs and wonders followed him everywhere he went. Why? Because he knew that God was faithful. Because he knew that God would answer. Because he knew that God could never fail. And that Father had something extraordinary that he wanted to share with those around about. Amen. He wanted to share with each and every one that Jesus came in contact with the will and the purpose of God in their lives. A new covenant, an everlasting covenant, a living faith. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, in the Word of God to the book of Matthew, chapter 14 tonight. I pray that as we open up these pages that God will reveal something to you that will help you in your walk with God and help you to press through the crowd, press through the doubts, press through the fears, and take hold of the hem of his garment, that virtue will touch you today. A miracle will be in your life today. Hope will spring within you today. Matthew 14. And if you could, let's look at verse 22. Verse 22 of Matthew chapter 14. Immediately Jesus made the disciples, and I'm reading from the NIV tonight. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. It was not by happenstance that Jesus would set himself aside to pray. The Lord always charged his spiritual batteries, always found that time of intimacy with Father, and always refueled his soul for the purpose of God at hand. And we too must do so in our hearts and lives, and not allow ourselves to get into the place of just constantly going through the motions and trying to keep up with business and doing our doings without taking time out to be with God. It's in that reservoir of the Holy Spirit. It's in the wellsprings of the Spirit where our soul is refreshed and we're able to minister in the power of the Lord and show forth his love and to minister his revelatory word and to see his victory happening in the hearts and lives of those around about us. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because of the wind that was against it. There was a buffeting. There was a storm about. There was an uneasiness in the boat. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But, when he saw the wind, he was afraid. When he saw what was happening around him, he couldn't quite gather himself, and he cried out and said, "Lord, save me. These are tempestuous times. These are stormy times. These are times on this ocean that are unsettling, and how can I walk to you?" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" We look at the wind. We look at the waves. We look at what could be a storm. We look at what is around about us, and we allow ourselves to lose sight of Jesus. Lose sight of the man who said, "Come unto me, all ye that are faithful. Oh, and I will make you fishermen of men." We forget who's calling us. We forget that the Master bids us come. And we begin to allow circumstances and that which is around about us to temper us, to keep us, to help us to become those who are fallen from our faith and are reluctant to pursue the call of God. Such it has been so many times in our lives, just like it was for these disciples in this circumstance. Out on this boat, there in the sea, the winds are there, etc. It might be a little turbulent, might be a little storm, might be little things not quite the way it should. And as they look in that setting and look towards those things, they forget who's before them. They forget the man who called them out, the man who wanted to come, that they could walk on the water. And the Lord is wanting us to walk on the water. The Lord's wanting us to walk by faith and not by sight. The Lord's wanting us to take hold of His Word. He's wanting us to know His Word works. His will is forever settled in heaven. But too many of us are looking at those things around about us, and we're forgetting what Christ has done for us. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. He became reluctant, began to sink, and cried out, "Lord, save me." Oh, Lord, the winds. Oh, the storms of life. Oh, the things around about me, God. I don't know, Lord. Even though you said, "Hey, come unto me. I'm just not sure, Lord. This is the right place. This is the right time. This is the right situation." But if the Lord has called you, if the Lord has said to do it, if the Lord has spoken your heart, it is time. But too many times we are reluctant and our faith becomes null and void. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" The Lord's asking that question today to you and me. Why did we doubt? He said he'd outpour his spirit. He said, "Ask and you shall receive." He said. And so many times we don't take him at his word. So many times we don't walk out on that water of faith. We don't think that it's solid. We don't think that there's anything there. And we've gotten ourselves to a place where our faith has become void and of none effect. Verse 32, "And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down." When they climbed in the boat, the wind died down. Oh, Lord, it subsided. It's gone. But they could have walked on the water. They could have pursued that path. He had said in verse 28, "Come to me. Come to me. Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." He said, "Come." So he started out with faith. He started out with an expectation. He started out believing in a miracle. But because of circumstances, because of things around about, because of the pressures of life, this faith was sucked away from him. How many folks have lived for God and have never seen what God really had in store for them? How many people have been in a place where they've started out with God and have begun to see some of the miracles, signs, and wonders? They've seen them, the miracles, the signs, and wonders. But all of a sudden, doubt and fear and situations and stuff gets in the way, and it destroys them on their pathway because of reluctant faith. I can't tell you how many times I made the mistake of putting on the brakes when Jesus wanted me to hit the accelerator and say, "Go, boy, go." But I sat there and I looked at it and I thought within my own human understanding, "Hey, you know, this can't be Jesus." Never say that. Never put a butt into there. Never try to put a doubt into there. Let God be God. Hallelujah. But too many times we try to reason with things. I can't tell you how many times I found myself reasoning out things and putting myself in a precarious position because I have not resided my faith in the hope of the ages, in the rock, hallelujah, in the man of God who has spoken to my heart and life and has spoken into my life and has given me everything he has, and that's my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Too many times, reluctant faith. When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. All that touched it were healed. Peter, I just said, come unto me. Come on. It's going to be all right. Oh, but Lord, there's nothing there. That's just water. There's nothing solid. Too many times we're looking for solid things. We're trying to look for things that are apparent. But sometimes Jesus doesn't always make it apparent. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Have faith in God. Trust in me and see. That's what the Lord's saying. But too many times we don't take him in a word. We want something more concrete. Hallelujah. But people brought all their sick to him and begged him to heal them. And all who touched him were healed. All of them. Not some. Not a few. They were all healed. You've got to press through, church. You've got to get to him. You've got to get the debris out of the way. You've got to get the doubts and the fears out of the way. You've got to get the circumstances of life out of the way. You've got to touch him. I don't know. Maybe it isn't important enough to you to touch him tonight. Maybe it's not important enough to you to go out on the limb with God. But I want you to know, I'm tired of playing games. I'm tired of being around about the things of God. I'm tired of just barely getting to know him. I'm tired about just trying to live off yesterday's blessings. Oh, I want to touch the hem of his garment. I want to see the miracles performed. I want to see my life choices have a meaning. I want to see the victory of God. I want to see lives changed and coming to the church. I want to see revival and the outpouring of his spirit like never before. I want a new touch. I want to see new glories. I want to see new opportunities. I want to see his name be glorified. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, if you will. I hope you're getting something out of this, church. Romans chapter 14, verse 22. I feel and sense his anointing tonight. Hallelujah. In this evangelistic service, I sense his anointing. There's a special place we are in the presence of God tonight. And he wants to make his claim on your life. He wants to make his claim on your spirit. He wants to rip away the reluctance from your faith that you have right now that's keeping you from the victory of God, that's keeping you from the hope in your marriage, that's keeping you with your relationships being healed, keeping you from the miracle that God wants to show you tonight. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 14, verse 22, if you will. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself, but what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. Sometimes you've got to keep what you have and are believing for between you and God. Look at this verse 22 again. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Some things that you're believing for, Some things that you're trusting God for aren't for you to talk to everybody about. And sometimes what rips at the inner part of your soul and keeps your faith from seeing the victory of God is because you got too many people's word on it. Hello, church. You've got too many people butting in on it, church. You're trying to get too many opinions, church. Some things aren't up for opinion. When God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? God and me make a covenant, and I need to be stern about that course that He is setting and keep with it. But too many times I allow myself to begin to talk about it, begin to think about it. Lord, it's a little rough out there. People aren't accepting this the way I thought they would, Lord. This person's opinion, God, he's pretty influential in the church. Hello? Hello, do you hear me? We become reluctant in our faith. There's a problem when we do that. It short-circuits us from the victory of God. It short-circuits us from the miracle. It short-circuits us from seeing the miracle that God wants to provide and minister and show the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, some things you need to keep between you and God. Just like you need to keep between man and wife, etc. You got me? Come on. Some things shouldn't be public. Some things shouldn't be talked about. Some things are between you and God, you, your best friend, etc., whatever it might be. They're covenant. You need to be cautious because it can circumvent the blessing of God. How many people I've known in the body of Christ have lost out on the call of God and the vision that the Lord has called them to because they got too many people's ideas caught up in it. When it was between them and God, and they had to commit to it, and if they were committed to it, God would see them through. Hey, Peter, you can walk on the water. Come unto me. Oh, Lord, you don't get it. You don't seem to see what I see. Hey, keep your course straight. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Press through, just like those people back there in that 14th chapter of Matthew who touched him and they were all healed. Hallelujah. They weren't reluctant in their faith. They just knew what he could do. They'd heard about the miracles. Maybe they had seen a few of them themselves, and all they knew was there was a chance, there was an opportunity right here, right now, with Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you going to press through, church? Are you not going to let the circumstances get you? Are you not going to let those doubts get you? Are you not going to allow those things and debris of this world to keep you from the purpose of God in your life? Some of you have been called to preach the gospel. You've been called to preach the gospel. But you've got too many people telling you, well, you know, I don't know. You know, it's a hard road to hoe. You know those preachers. You know, they don't make much money. Oh, you know those preachers. You know, they got to sacrifice. You know those preachers. You know, unless they get the right church. You know, all that stuff. Either you're called and accepting it, or you're calling and rejecting it. There's no hit or miss in this thing. Hallelujah. God is calling you out today. Some of you for a miracle. Some of you for healing. Some of you to heal a broken relationship. Some of you to call you out to the ministry. Some of you for something otherwise. But whatever it is, it's going to be beautiful when God gets busy in your life and shows forth his glory as you rip away at reluctance, allow faith to take hold and see the victory of God. Some of you in this place tonight, you're leaders of different fellowships. Some of you tonight are presidents of organizations. You don't need to be wishy-washy. You don't need to be trepid. You don't need to be wondering. You need to get a hold of God. You need to take time aside with God, just like Jesus did with Father, and get it right and get reinvigorated and understand, hey, I'm going through. I'm going to make this thing. I'm going to do this. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Sometimes God calls you to do something that just sounds kind of crazy. But you know something? God has it for good. It looked crazy. The people of God marched around Jericho. It looked crazy. Hallelujah. When somebody built a boat and waited for rain. You know, it was crazy. But you know something? It was right. It's the will of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to the book of James, if you will. The book of James. Hallelujah. I don't want to be reluctant in my faith. I don't want to hold anything back. I don't want to be in a situation where I'm hesitant when it comes to the things of God. Because every time you do that, you find yourself in a precarious position. And the devil just waits for that. It's like a defender watching that quarterback's eyes. And if he sees fear, if he senses where he's going to go, etc., and that quarterback flinches and he doesn't really have that confidence in what he's doing, they know they got him. They know they got him. They know they got him. He's already beat before the play even starts. And sometimes some of you are already beat before the play even starts, as the devil's already got your number before you even called the play. It's getting quiet. It's getting quiet. James chapter 1. Let's begin with the first verse, but verse 6 is really what I'm going to look at here. James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. What does that say? Consider it pure joy. Oh, come on, preacher. Joy? Trials? Joy? Consider it all joy. When you're going through a test, when you're going through a trial, when things look like they're not their best, guess what? That's shouting time. Why? Because God's about ready to make something happen in your life that's going to see his glory poured out. Where he's going to get the victory. Where the circumstances don't look right. Hallelujah. When you can't claim any success, but only he can receive the glory. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces. The testing of your faith, what? The testing of your faith, what? The testing of your faith does what? It produces. I want you to know, if your faith is being tested, God is going to produce something. And today he wants to produce a miracle. He wants to produce his word in power and glory being demonstrated. He wants to see his fruit be bore on the tree. But it can't be. It can't be unless you count it all joy. And know that when you have these trials of faith, this testing, it's going to be proven for something wonderful, something glorious. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Let your faith be proven, folks, that may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given you. But when you ask... Come on, look at verse 6 here, guys. But when you ask, you must. Come on. I want you to say it to yourself. You must. You must. You must believe and not doubt. Rip out that reluctance. Rip out that doubt. Rip out that fear. Rip out that wondering. Rip out that stuff that gets away, that gets at the way of you receiving the miracle of God in your life, the presence of God in your life, the visitation of God in your life. Hallelujah. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that he does. Unstable in all that he does. Beware of double-mindedness, church. Beware of being double-minded. It's subtle. It's subtle. It comes to slips in. You think you can go one direction, then all of a sudden you're going two. Sometimes you're going two, sometimes three, at the same time in all sorts of directions when you're trying to get going in one direction. Well, I can keep this going, that, and maybe, let's see, let me juggle these. One of these has got to be the will of God. And a lot of you preachers out there live your life in Christ that way. A lot of you saints of God, you're juggling it. You're juggling it. Oh, you know, hey, I'm not sure. Let's see which one falls in place. No. That's not faith. That's being double-minded. Sometimes triple-minded. Woo, it's like Lotto with Jesus. There's no Lotto with Jesus. It is or it's not. It is or it's not. It is or it's not. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. Faith is. Put that in your cap. Put that in your heart. Put that in the flyleaf of your Bible. Write it down. Faith is. It's not what. It's not okay. It's not maybe. It's not could happen. It is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's all you need. And it produces. It produces. Hallelujah. Faith produces. It produces victory. It produces hope. It produces healing. It produces a Christian walk filled with the glory and the presence of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you with me, church? Are you with me, church? I don't want to be unstable. I don't want to be going about things. I don't want to be double-minded. Oh, we got to keep our options, Pastor. No, we don't. As soon as I have an option, it might just negate what God wants me to do. I'm going to try to fulfill the call of God. Let me go in the direction God's called me. Let me do what God's called me. If it fails, it fails. Because maybe it's me or whatever. But if it's God, I can't lose. For all things are possible in Him. Hallelujah. I can't lose. Hallelujah. If it is God, I've got a blessing in store. And you do too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Just because you haven't seen it yet doesn't mean it's not happening. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean that that opportunity hasn't come about. It doesn't mean that provision hasn't been seen. It doesn't mean that God hasn't already answered that prayer by faith. He's just setting the table. He's just setting the table in the presence of our enemies. Hallelujah. He's setting the table in the presence of our enemies. That he receives all the glory, all the honor. All the praise. Hallelujah. There's a problem with reluctant faith. That is reluctance. That is doubt. That is double-mindedness. Keep on course, church. Keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith. Keep walking on the water. Keep believing God. Keep trusting in His word. Keep believing that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. My God has never failed me yet. He's never failed me yet. Hallelujah. Many years ago, and I close with this, the Lord gave me a vision. He gave me an understanding of what was going to be in my ministry and in various things, some good, some bad, some things that were going to happen that, you know, I just couldn't believe would happen, so I kind of put them off. And then a lot of things that, hallelujah, I was excited about happening. But the Lord was pretty straightforward with me, because he said I'd need it. But the one thing he told me that kept me going in the midst of high and low times, whatever they were, was the fact that he told me in the midst of all, I know your name, and I love you, son. I know your name, and I love you, son. He prophesied to me certain things that would happen that would make any man almost say, hey, you know, why should I even go about this? And I tried everything to avoid it. Hallelujah. But God knows. God knows. But I've also seen some glorious things, and I wouldn't change it for anything. There's a lot of things I wish hadn't happened, but they had a purpose. There's things I wish never would have been that I had transgressed or done against God or somebody, but they were. But I thank God for the blood. I thank God for his Holy Spirit. I thank God for restoration. I thank God for his grace. But I want you to know, eyes not seen, nor ear heard, all that the Lord has prepared for them that love him. And all I know is that God loves me, and he loves you. And throughout all my life, he has been good to me, and I don't deserve his goodness. But nobody does. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Let that faith be alive in you. Do not doubt. Don't allow that problem with reluctant faith to negate the miracle God has for you.